I know I haven't been here for about 4, maybe even 5 weeks. Last week I was preaching in Waikiki, and the week before I was somewhere else, and the week before that I was somewhere else again. I've had eye surgery recently, so they opened up my eye and took out the cornea, threw it away and put another one on, and so I had a few weeks out for that. It's healing well. It's going really well. Your prayers have been amazing, and God's been gracious, and it's healing. It's on the mend. Right now, I can see clear blurriness. Prior to the operation, it was hazy blurriness. So it's on the mend, and once it settles down, I'll be able to have some decent glasses. I've got glasses here. They are plus tens. And it helps me get around a wee bit, but everything's so zoomed and I feel so spaced out that I can't quite feel where I'm going. Everything seems like there when it's over there. And if I wore them long enough, I'll get used to it, but then I take them off and then... So I wear them when I can. At the moment, I just do what I do without being able to see too well. But God's on the way, doing his deal, and it's all awesome. And again, because I've been away for so long, there's probably people here I don't know. So my name's Lyle. Pleasure to make acquaintances with you. We're gonna open up the Word. And it's going to be around the theme, as you've probably already picked up over the last few weeks. We're speaking about prayer and the presence of God. This last past week, we've had two great prayer meetings. We had one in town at the Hub, and one obviously here on Thursday night as well. I was able to get to the one on Wednesday night, and it was outstanding. This gathering of a whole bunch of people, and I hear Thursday night was just as awesome. And there's a real, you know, there's a real sense of God bringing us together to pray, and it's not like anyone's cracking the whip to get us together to pray. It's a sense that we are hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying, hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying for us in this season. And there's a, you know, the Bible talks about how Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to go and pray and fast. We get the sense that God's leading us by His Spirit in this season to come and pray. Yeah? And God's in that, and it's awesome. And we just want to continue to speak into that. When we talk about the presence of God, I want to unpack that a little bit because people think about different things when we talk about the presence of God. Those of us who may have a more evangelical background, you know, we you know, often hear people say, "Oh, we want more depth of the Word of God. We want more teaching. We want expository doctrine type teaching." And yes, we do. We need all of that. And then there's others who are on the more Pentecostal leaning, who want more of the Holy Ghost. We want the move of the Spirit. We want this. And there's a saying that goes like this: if there's too much word, you dry up. If there's too much of the Spirit, you blow up. Yeah? Anyone heard that saying? You have now? Yeah. It's a saying that used to go around, and basically it highlights the fact that we need balance. We need the Word of God and we need the Holy Spirit. It's not one or the other. And maybe in this season, for the next few weeks, we are focusing on the presence of God. Because often people say, "Oh, we don't want any more, you know, those puff pieces we talk about, you know." And that's because in their thinking that it's, no, we believe in the Father, Son, and the other thing, you know. Yeah, but we want to bring that other thing called the Holy Spirit, He's a person, into the center for some attention right now, because Jesus said it is the Holy Spirit who comes into the world who brings conviction of sin. He says that when I go to be with the Father, I'm going to send another, which was the Holy Spirit, who is a comforter, who will never leave us nor forsake us in our walk with God. He is with us, ever present. We know the Bible says that when we are born again, when we give our hearts to Jesus, that our innermost being, our spirit comes alive, and the Holy Spirit becomes the seal over our life as God's own, that we belong to God. We don't belong to this world or to the devil anymore. We belong to God. We've got that. And I'm not talking about the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit that seals us for salvation here this morning. I'm talking about the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit that we feel and know as we move through the earth and everyday activity. You following me here, church? Because the nature of the human heart is to drift. Yeah? Because the Bible says the heart of man, the heart of humanity is desperately wicked. It's because there's that innate part of us from the fall that has the tendency to want to lean to disobey God. We want to lean towards sin. You want to lean to do what you want rather than what God wants. And that's sin. Yeah? But the Holy Spirit in our lives, as we spend time with God, as we read the Word, as we pray, as we meditate on the Word and spend time in His presence, you know, the reality of the issues of our heart gets exposed and revealed to us. And then as a result of that, we begin to make adjustments. The Bible says that we are sanctified with Christ. Yeah? That we are set apart because of a decision that we made to follow Christ. We're set apart with Him. The Bible says that we are being sanctified. In other words, we are getting more and more holy day by day as we journey with Him. You following me there? So when we come in prayer and we come boldly to the throne room of God, God sees us through the lens of the cross and He accepts us and receives us. Yeah? But when we are walking on the earth, you know, we are still in the process of going through that change of going from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith, as we mature as believers through the knowledge of knowing more and more of God. That's why we read the Word. We become more mature, more understanding of who He is, and in our relationship with Him, we become to know the closeness of God, and we become more like Christ. And we need the Holy Spirit. It's impossible to be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Unfortunately, for many Christians, when we begin in church for a long, long time, we can begin to operate out of our human knowledge. We can begin to operate out of a professional mindset, even as a pastor, where we're doing it out of our own human strength, out of what we know, rather than depending on the Spirit of God. That's why it's important for us to be in the presence of God. Jesus says in John, he talks about, in John 15, about abide in me and I'll abide in you. He talks about the vine, the branches being connected. If the branch is disconnected, there's no sap flowing from the vine into the branch to bring life and therefore bear fruit. And if we are not connected to God, there's no life breath flowing through us by the Holy Spirit. We find ourselves withering away. That's why we need to be in the presence of God. That's why we need to choose to abide with Him. Because if we begin to dwell on our own for too long, we'll begin to wither. We ask the question, why do people fall away from God? Why do people who once had a really amazing encounter with God and they're on fire for Jesus, later down the track in their lives, find themselves now disregarding God and now choosing to live a different way? How did that happen? It came because they chose to disconnect from the vine. They chose through the drifting of the heart to get so far away that the life sap of the presence and Spirit of God is not in their world, and they find themselves believing a lie rather than abiding in the truth. We know that in Scripture. I mean, Jesus talks about it all the time. He talks about the five virgins that were wise and the five foolish virgins, ones that were able to keep their oil in their lamp, so their lamp keeps burning. The others didn't have extra oil, so when the lamp went out, they didn't have oil. The whole deal, they missed out going into the wedding feast of the Lamb because They didn't abide in Christ. They weren't prepared. They haven't prepared their hearts and filled their tanks by the Spirit of God. They just drifted thinking, hey man, I'm a daughter of God. I'm going to get into that space. I'm a child of God. I'm going to get in that space. They took it for granted and found out that they missed out. We don't want to be like that. We want to have our tanks filled. We want to be in the presence of God. The Bible says in Timothy, and Timothy has been told by Paul, the word of God is God-breathed. It's God-breathed. It's God-breathed. The word there is pneuma, the same word that is used for the filling of the Holy Spirit. So God's word is breathed upon by the Spirit of God. When we open it and read it and meditate on it, the Spirit of God illuminates the word to us. And we find ourselves just having revelation, inspiration. We find ourselves Paul tells Timothy, the word of God is good for correction and rebuking. It's good for training. It's good for encouraging. But in the list, there's two things that are really positive. Yeah, we want some faith-lifting sermons. Yeah, we want some teaching. Give us that expository teaching. But we don't want the rebuking. We don't want the correction. But if we're around long enough, the Holy Spirit will take hold of His Word and bring about those adjustments in our hearts. We'll feel, ooh, that hurt. Oh, God, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. And you begin to have revelations of where you've got it wrong, or where you need to, you know, come back to the altar and repent and get your hearts right with the Lord. You find all those things as you go through Scripture and God illuminates His Word. It's God-breathed. Jesus says this when He was led into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. The devil says, hey, why don't you turn that rock into bread? And Jesus said to the devil, man does not live by bread alone, but he lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus says, man, we can't just live by bread. We need to hear the voice of God, because the word in that context is the Greek word rhema, which means, you know, the spoken word. We've got to be able to hear the voice of God. We need to be able to read His word and have it illuminated to us. And it's that sustains us. It's that which brings us life. That's why we need the presence of God. That's why we need this presence of God in our lives. Let me go deeper here. In Isaiah 53, it's the chapter titled The Suffering Servant. It's a prophecy about what Jesus was going to go through on the when He came to the cross. And it says there that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Goes on further down the chapter saying that He bore our sins on Himself. Now there are three words there I want to highlight for us that will be very helpful for us to understand and understanding the presence of God. All those three words talk about the condition of the heart. The word sin in this context is the word that can be translated missing the mark. Missing the mark. Because our hearts drift from God, you know, we might be walking straight towards the target, wanting to hit that target that God has in front of us. But if our heart drifts only by a small percentage, we could lean this way and begin to miss the mark. That's what sin is, missing the mark. The word transgression is translated as deliberately crossing of the line. Deliberately choosing to sin. For example, if there was a sign on top of that wall there saying, do not touch, wet paint, how many of us would walk past that, look at that and go, and say, oh yeah, that sign's correct. We deliberately cross the line and touch something that we are told not to touch. I'm the first to do that. Right. So, but that's transgression. That's when we cross the lines that we know we shouldn't cross. And so often in Christianity, many Christians try to find the bare minimum of what they can get away with. They want to go up to that line and hopefully get away with as much as they can. You know, should I drink? Should I not drink? Should I? How much can I do when it comes to sex? How much can I do when it comes to, you know, white lie, a fib here or there? Yeah. Finders, keepers. You follow me, church? We want to cross the line. It's our human nature wanting us to I guess, break the rules. But Jesus came and offered his life up freely on the cross to take upon himself all these things so that we'd be free from the guilt of it. The word iniquity is an interesting word. It means the heart, rather than being straight, it's bent. Or twisted. It talks about the innate inner being, not just drifting from God and having a propensity to sin. There's a particular issue that keeps taking us down the wrong track. It says in Ezekiel that the iniquities of the father shall visit the son to the third to fourth generation. It talks about the iniquity of the heart being passed down. Let me explain it to you in everyday terms. And this is just from my own observation. I've seen it. I've seen a sin that's been passed down from one generation to the next in family lines. Alcoholism. Yeah? Granddad was an alcoholic. Dad was an alcoholic. And then the son is an alcoholic. And their son, it's four generations, is going down the same lines. Promiscuity. People who have had children outside of marriage. From one generation, the next generation. And even, you know, yeah, other things. You follow me here, church? That's called iniquity. And Jesus died on the cross for that to be broken. And when we journey with the Lord, and the presence of the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, and we are close to Him, and He speaks to us, He begins to highlight these things. Yes, we were forgiven at salvation. But I want us to understand something. At salvation, you're forgiven all your sin, past, present, and future, right? But as you walk after that decision with the Lord, you've still got a mindset up here that has been groomed by your past. That's why we read the Word of God, because the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The term brainwashed, you're just brainwashed. Absolutely, I'm brainwashed because my mind is dirty. I need it cleaned. So I read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit illuminates the things in my thinking that are wrong, so I can come to Him and ask for His Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to help me make adjustments. And often those adjustments come by repenting of the sin and then choosing not to go down that path again or to touch that again or begin to pick up a word or scripture that's a promise from God that I can speak over my life to counteract the lie that I have believed in and operated in. The iniquity. See, I got saved when I was 22. I went to Bible school, got married. We had kids. And we planted a church, did ministry, God moved, things are happening. And obviously on that journey, God was working on my heart, and He's still working on my heart because I haven't finished. I'm not there yet. I'm not done. I'm not perfect. But I remember saying, because in my family, there have been experiences or situations where my dad, he was angry. at times. And I remember saying this, I'm not going to be like my dad. And then I had teenagers. And then I started sounding like my dad. That's iniquity being exposed, an issue of anger that I had to deal with. And I remember sitting my kids down and apologizing to them and explaining to them that I don't want this to continue in our family line. I'm not saying it's not my fault. I'm not saying it's my father's fault or my father's father's fault. I'm taking responsibility of what I have done, and I'm breaking this in our family line. And I prayed with our kids, and that was done. But I had to humble myself. I had to repent of my sin, and I had to do something to break that iniquity. I came to that realization because of the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. There have been situations where I've been in worship, and then God brings something to my memory, and I begin to weep and worship as the presence of God is washing over me, and I'm weeping not because God is awesome at that time. I'm weeping because God has showed me something that I'm not awesome at. You follow me, church? And then in that moment, I'm just coming to the Lord, going, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. Then you go on the journey of getting things right by going and saying sorry to the person you need to say sorry to. Going and bring restitution, bringing healing. I mean, this is Christianity 101. You don't just come to church and say, sorry, God, then go home and do nothing about your life. You got to get right with God, then go bring restitution. That's what repentance is all about. You following me, church? We've got to take responsibility for the issues going on in our world if we cause them and shift them and change them, not only just through prayer, but by the leading of the Spirit of God to bring change. That's why we need the presence of God. See, if we want to see revival in our land, and if we want to see come before God on behalf of our nation and the sin of the nation, we've got to take responsibility of our own sin first. We've got to take responsibility where we react with God. We've got to take responsibility of the fact that we're maybe just going through the motions. We've got a religious experience. We haven't got a real understanding of what it is to be deep in relationship with God and know His embrace. There's the awesome embrace of God's presence. And then, like I said before, God's word is good for training, rebuking, correcting. It's 50-50 both sides, isn't it? 50% all positive and encouraging. Whoop, whoop. I'm not saying rebuking and correction is not encouraging. But it comes across real negative because none of us like to be corrected. None of us like to be rebuked about something we're getting wrong. But we need to man up and grow up and say, hey, man, I needed that because I was getting it wrong. I needed that because if I keep going down that line, I'm missing the mark. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I'm coming to make those adjustments as I come before you and yield my heart to you and say, God, use me for your glory. We need the presence of God in our lives. And that's just in the area of personal growth as a Christian. When it comes to doing mission, we need the presence of God in our lives so that we can, you know, minister to people and hear on their behalf as the Spirit of God leads us and guides us through situations. As you talk to a friend, hear what the Holy Spirit is saying about your friend. Have some heart open to say, Lord, what can I say? What can I do to help my friend? How can I see them come to a place where they know healing? Where they know the reality of you, God, of your presence and power. And as we begin to foster that awareness of His presence in our lives, we can then have impact in the world that God's placed us. See, I believe that God wants to fill this place. I believe that God wants to reproduce more again out of this place another congregation. We have two congregations. The vision of the church is to have congregations around the city. And for us to do that, we need to know the presence of God. We need to be in a place where we are asking God to move on our hearts. I know for me in ministry, and Debbie would vouch for this, that you can't do anything in God out of human expertise. You can be the most gifted speaker. You can be the most charismatic personality. You can, have all what it takes from a human perspective to do something. But without the Holy Spirit, you won't have the God factor. Yeah? I've seen churches that have grown out of, from great personalities, great things, but God wants a church where His Spirit loves to abide and move and thrive and be used for His glory. And we need to be a people that's open to the Holy Spirit, praying for a move of God, realizing that we can't do this without God. When we planted the church in Napier many years ago now, it was God and the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, there were many times that I wanted to quit. After a year being there, I was doing a vision casting meeting. And at that time, we had 30 people in our congregation. And we had a building auditorium the size of this. And on the side of it, there was a massive auditorium. It was half built. And I was casting vision. Whoop, whoop. We're going to fill that next door. And this is what I'm going to do. This, and we're going hard out, sweating, perspiring, spitting everywhere as I cast a vision. And everybody's going, yeah, Pastor, yeah, yeah. But watch you do it, yeah. And I was really at my, I was desperate. I was casting visions and, come on, God, do something. The next morning, I got a phone call from a neighbor. And they said, oh, something's going on at the church. I see smoke coming out the windows. And I came down and there's a fire appliance there and police were there. And what happened is someone broke into the church building and lit off all the fire extinguishers and damaged a whole lot of things. And I turned up there and I saw all of this. And it was just the night after I was casting vision. Whoop, whoop. And my heart sunk. I was so downcast. And I thought, oh. And I walked around, I looked at all the damage. And I was feeling quite dejected. And then I came across, right there in the middle of it all, a human turd on the ground that defecated in the middle of the church. And I looked at that, and the Holy Spirit came on me. I looked at that, and I thought, devil, you've gone one step too far. I mean, I was sad, downcast, depressed when I saw the smoke and all the damage. But now that I've seen this, I'm fired up. And boy, God came on me and I was, got into praying, got into all of this. And the church from that point onwards began to explode. And God used an incident to spark something in my heart. And I knew that I couldn't do it in my own strength because I was about to quit. But then when I saw that, something of God came on me, something rose up out of me, and I began to pray all the more. I began to believe even more. I began to, just go for it in God, and the whole deal began to explode. We had a move of the Holy Spirit a couple years later where we saw people healed of many sicknesses and diseases. We were in the New Zealand media because of it all. Things were happening. God was moving. And all of that was because of the Holy Spirit at work. And God taught me and brought me through a season where I learned to trust in God. And I learned to believe His word. A more recent example of that will be a few weeks ago. I was sitting in Clyde with my friend, and he's a prophetic guy, and we were just sort of sharing, you know, stories and unpacking various thoughts and things around the whole deal, and just having a good theological discussion, and it was fun. And then in the middle of all of that, he got a text from somebody, and he said, "Oh, someone just sent me a word." And he looked at the word, and he said, "Oh, Lyle, I think this is for you as well." And he read the word out, and the last line of the prophetic word was this, "Trust in God." Trust in God. Previous to this, I preached the message about why you're so downcast, oh my soul. Hope in God. Hope in God. So that illuminated, that jumped out at me because it said, trust in God. And just as he read out, trust in God, there was an earthquake. You might remember this earthquake a few weeks back? The whole place shook. And the big stone chimney rattling. It was noisy. We could hear it. And he was looking at me thinking, what do we do? I could read his eyes. What do we do? And me, I was saying, trust in God. Right? And I understood what that phrase meant in regards to my situation. Yeah? After that word that proceeded from the mouth of God into my heart, it wasn't something that I read, and I know the Bible says trust in God, hope in God, believe in the word of God, all of these things. I know that because I've read it, I know it, but because I heard this and God underscored it, I knew because I knew. Trust in God. So when I went for our surgery a few weeks later, we were in Auckland. The surgery was on the Monday. On the Sunday night, we went and visited a church, and we were in their Sunday night service, and they gave opportunity for people who need prayer to come and get prayer. And Debbie looked at me and says, "Should we go forward and you get prayer? And I said, "Nah, God's got this. I don't need anyone to lay hands on me and pray for me." I knew it. I knew that God has got this because I heard his word, trust in God. So I went into that surgery, and here I am standing here now preaching the word of God, trusting God that the final outcome will be that I will be able to see again, that I'll be able to drive my car again. Watch out. And all of those things. But we need the Spirit of God. It gives us that X factor. It gives us that confidence. It gives us that boldness. You know, Joshua says, was told to be strong and courageous. You are strong and courageous because you hear the word of God. You're strong and courageous because you know inside here that you heard from God, that you're called for this, you're called for this season, you're born for a time such as this, and you step up to the mark and you walk it through knowing that God is with you. He's got your back. You're not sort of tentatively, nervously trying to live out your Christian walk. You know because you know. You've been in a place of prayer. You know the presence of God. You understand that he's spoken to you. And you walk forward and advance forward because of that conviction. We need to be believers of conviction. We need to be believers that hear the word of God. What really is quite staggering when we do, I remember doing youth meetings where we have workshops and we're doing big youth conferences and you do workshops and there's all these different workshops. And one of the workshops is how to hear the voice of God. How do you know God's will for your life? And that workshop is always the most popular workshop out of all. People want to hear how to hear the voice of God. How do you know God's will? And this is what it means. And this is how you develop a hearing of the word of God is reading the word. Getting to a place of prayer. Soaking yourself in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because many of us know, we all know how to hear the devil's voice. Right? Oh, that's nice. You want that. Take it. Yeah? We know the negative sides of hearing, the negative sides of the inner voice. God's voice sounds like this, and we've all heard it too. Why don't you give to them? Why don't you pay for this? Why don't you call this person? Why don't you visit this person? Why don't you invite this person, this family, around for dinner? Why don't you pay for their groceries? Why don't you? You follow me, church? We've all heard the voice of God, but our hearts deceive us. And we say, no. Because we counteract the voice of God with how much it'll affect us. Or, yeah? Yeah? So we hear the voice of God, but what gives us confidence is the presence of God. Because when you have God's presence in your heart, it's not something that you say no to, because you know, I've heard God on this. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you go and you do it cheerfully. And it all comes down to taking those first steps of obedience. And then once you see the fruit of your obedience, you take another step again. And you see fruit of that obedience. Then you take another step again. Because the fruit of taking a step of obedience is awesome. Because when God says, oh, why don't you take them out? Why don't you pay for their dinner? We think, oh, but I've got a holiday coming up and I need the money. Yeah? And you say, oh, no. But then when you take a step of obedience and you pay, and then on your holiday, something happens and you get blessed, and you think, oh, praise the Lord. And when you begin to live a life of being obedient to those inner leanings of the Spirit of God speaking, we begin to have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, because we start seeing miracles. Rather than hearing everybody else say, man, God's blessed me, God's done this, and we're sitting there going, oh, God blesses me. He's trying to, but we won't step forward in obedience and sow something as he leads us. I can go so much more into this, but I think I've unpacked some significant thoughts there for us to make a response to God. The whole area of iniquity, that's a big one. That's a big one. Because if you don't slay the giants that God brings before you, your kids will have to. Let me say that again, particularly to the men. If you don't slay the giants that come against you, your kids will have to. That's why you need to deal to those iniquities of the heart. Don't just say, oh, this is just how we are. No, no, no. Look at for what it really is. It's a sin. It's an issue that propagates a sin. I need to deal to that in Jesus' name. Deal to the giants. And hearing the voice of God. Part and parcel of our prayer and presence focus is that we want not just our leaders to hear the voice of God. We want everybody to hear the voice of God. We want everybody where they're seeing God breaking out in their world because they're taking those steps of obedience as they hear the voice of God. This week as you pray, as you open your heart to the Lord and he speaks to you and he, I guess, prods something in your heart, take a step of faith. Be obedient in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me pray for us. Father, I thank you for every soul, every heart here in the room. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that, Lord God, you'd come right now and you'd minister by your Spirit to every person. Father, I know what it is, Lord God, to have shortcomings in my life. And I thank you, Lord, that you've highlighted them. And I'm sure there's more that will be highlighted moving forward. But I thank you, Lord God, that you've highlighted them. You've corrected me. You've rebuked me. And you've helped me by your Spirit to bring adjustments. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd do that for each one of us. That we'd be a church that'll grow from strength to strength. That we'd be believers that'll grow to maturity. That, Lord God, we would know what it is to have faith, Lord God, that lives out the full course of our lives on earth. That, Lord God, we wouldn't fizz out. That, Lord, we'll just go from glory to glory, from strength to strength, for your glory. Father, I pray, Lord, as we interact with people, with families, with friends, family members, throughout the week, that, Lord, we'd hear your voice, that you'd use us to bring a change in people's lives. That, Lord God, would hear it and obey. That we would hear your word and obey. And that, Lord, we would see such a shift take place in our lives. That, Lord, we would see a vibrancy of faith as we outwalk this phenomenal journey that you've called us on. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Just while every head is bowed, every eye is closed. You might be here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'd love to pray for you this morning. So if you're here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because I can't see you, I won't ask you to lift up your hand because you'll be holding up there and I'll be thinking, who's that? Who's there? You know in there? But this is what I ask you. If you need to respond this morning and give your life to Jesus, come and see me at the end of service. I'll be up here at the front. Come and sit with me and I'll talk with you. I'll pray with you. And I'd love to connect you with the wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. God bless. I'm going to hand it back to Catherine.
Gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Have a great Sunday afternoon and a great week.